Habakkuk chapter 2 from verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. You know the saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going? I think Habakkuk would say, when the going gets tough, the Christian gets believing. The Christian gets believing. That when the seas are choppy and the wind's getting up, the Christian has hope because they live by faith in the Lord. If you remember what we've seen in the book so far, Habakkuk was sent as the Lord's prophet in a very trying moment for God's people, in a very trying time. And the prophet complains that he sees, you know, all around him sin and lies and corruption and violence. And we saw in chapter 1 how he cried out to the Lord. And he's crying out that God would restore righteousness and restore justice and above all put his own people right. And he's praying really that the problem of sin will be dealt with. And so he is, in the biggest possible way, he's praying for salvation, the salvation of God's people and of the world. But then, if you remember, we saw the Lord answered in a very surprising way. And he promises to send the Babylonians. And they will come as judgment, as a punishment. And then in due time, the Babylonians themselves will be punished for their wickedness. So at first the response is, well Habakkuk, you'll see some justice, some improvement in your time, but not really salvation, as he's longing for it, as he's longing for the kingdom of God and real righteousness. And remember, he's longing for justice, an important word in the book. Justice in the Old Testament doesn't just mean right and wrong. It really means also restoring creation to the order God designed for it. Everything in its proper place. But as we come to the start of chapter 2 and verse 2, what we hear now is the Lord answers the prophet's cry in a more substantial way. And he begins to reveal the true ultimate answer to Habakkuk's cry. But again, it's probably not the answer the prophet and the people of God were hoping for. That they are wanting help now. They want to see salvation now. But the Lord's word to them is that they've got to continue to wait, to trust, to persevere in faith. And salvation is going to come, just not necessarily when Habakkuk is hoping for it. And he's got to learn to wait and live by faith. But if you look at those verses, verses 2 and 3, one of the main points that the Lord makes is he's reassuring his servant that salvation will come. Justice and righteousness will come. It is certain. The Lord has said it and he will do it. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. So God's promise is sure and certain. All he promises he will bring to pass. There is no lie. And though it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come. So even if it might seem to you, saint, delayed, to you, Habakkuk, it's not in your time, it is still absolutely certain. So again, this is one of the main lessons we're meant to take from this book. Habakkuk lives in that gap between promise and fulfillment. In that place of longing for the kingdom of God and longing for, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And he doesn't get to see all the great promises of salvation coming to be fulfilled. And of course, although we live in a much greater time now, Christ has come and salvation has really begun to be revealed and fulfilled. We too still live in something of that gap between all that we know God's promised about his kingdom, and we're not there yet. We're still in this fallen world. And Habakkuk's all about living in that gap, living in that reality where we are in this world, by faith, trusting God's promises, looking to the bright future. But one of the key things that I want to help us to understand is what is coming. Or better, who is coming. And the Lord willing, we're going to look in the weeks ahead at the next few chapters. But what is the vision that Habakkuk is meant to put his trust in? What is the word, the vision that he's actually given? Well, first, in chapter 2, the promise the wicked will be judged. There's a series of woes, of curses in chapter 2 that will come on the wicked. But then in chapter 3, you come to a glorious vision. The Lord himself will come. If you look at chapter 3 and verse 3, this is the vision. This is the word. God came from Mount Teman. His glory covered the heavens. His brightness was like the light. So you're seeing a great vision of the glory of God. God coming in power. God manifest upon the earth. And every eye will see it. And when you read through this description, he's speaking about the Lord coming in judgment. And he sees a vision of the end of the world as we know it. He sees mountains falling and rivers dried up and all the nations gathered before God. And God puts everything right and holds everyone to account. And so that is the good news that God's giving him, that he has to wait for and hope in and share with other people. God himself will come in power and judge the earth. This is an important part of salvation. Salvation isn't just the good news of how we are forgiven of our sins and reconciled to God. You can also say his judgment is part of that salvation. The putting right of all the wrongs in the earth. The final destruction of all that's wicked and sinful and evil. But he sees that and that's to give him great hope. Although he has to go through suffering and injustice, he knows in the end God will judge and put things right. If you think back then to Hebrews chapter 10, and we heard him quote from Habakkuk, did you notice that there was a slight change from the words in the Hebrew Old Testament to how Habakkuk is quoted in the Greek of the New Testament? Because there in Hebrews, in verse 37, it says, he who is coming will come and not tarry. Not just vision or word. He who is coming. Now you see what the writers of the writer to the Hebrews has done there. He's made plain what the coming vision is. He's explained it to us in his translation. He's looking and saying, look, that vision, God is coming in chapter 3. That's what it's speaking about here. And that's our great hope. And the context, of course, in Hebrews is a persecuted, suffering church being made a spectacle, having to endure great injustice. And he's saying, this is the great hope. God will come. Justice will be done. So all of that is to say, what I'm suggesting to you is that Habakkuk was given a vision of the second and final coming of the Lord Jesus in glory. And what the New Testament has revealed to us with greater clarity, the promised day of the Lord, when the man God has appointed will judge all the earth, our Lord Jesus Christ. The great fulfillment, the day of his power when he'll come. That's what Habakkuk is given a great vision of. And that he's speaking about here. And that the ultimate answer for the longing of our hearts for righteousness and the kingdom of God is we must look to that day. To that day when Christ comes and judges the earth. The doctrine of the final judgment and the coming of Christ, the day of the Lord, it's not just a New Testament thing. We have the same consistent message and hope and witness all the way through the scriptures. Isn't it in Jude? He says, even, you know, the seventh from Adam prophesied and spoke about Christ will come with his 10,000 angels. And so he will not tarry. Christ will not be late, brothers and sisters. He'll come at exactly the right time appointed by God. The right time to save the church and the world. And even though we might have be having to wait for it, we can know by faith it is absolutely true. This is our hope. So in Hebrews, in Habakkuk, what is God's word to discouraged and troubled Christians looking at the state of the world? The Lord's word is, he's coming. The Lord is coming. It's the same thing that the Lord Jesus himself says to the apostles. They're troubled about his warnings of destruction of Jerusalem and of judgment and of the mission. And he says, but he tells them to put all their hope in his coming. Yeah, and even in the parables, if you think about the parables that he uses in Matthew's gospel, when he speaks about his return, he says that there will be a time of waiting. The bridegroom is gone and the virgins waiting for the wedding. It's a long time, so they fall asleep and some of their lamps go out. Or you think about the master who goes away and leaves his servants behind with their talents and their money. And he's gone a long time. And it all depends on what they'll do while he's away. But he then says, lift up your heads. Your redemption draws near. He shall appear on the clouds in glory. Every eye will see him. And then it's the same thing. How does Paul console the Thessalonians when they're grieving over beloved Christians who've died? Well, he goes to the second coming. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. And we will all be caught up together with one another in the clouds. And then in 2 Thessalonians, to encourage persecuted Christians. Remember, Thessalonica was viciously persecuted. He says the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with flaming fire and with his mighty angels to take vengeance on all those who do not obey the gospel. They will suffer everlasting destruction. And it's the great hope that the book of Revelation says that we should be looking to. The last words of the Lord Jesus himself directly to John. Surely I am coming quickly. He will not tarry. The personal, glorious return of God in the flesh. It's the same message in Habakkuk. Now, all of which is to say, brothers and sisters, and I hope the point for us this evening, it's not just that I want to help us understand the message of Habakkuk and what this book's about. More than that, I want you to see that our hope in the coming of Christ is meant to be of enormous practical benefit for every day of your Christian life. This is a truth meant to console you in the midst of life's injustices and suffering. The second coming is not some theoretical, dry, dusty doctrine like a book that's on your shelf and you've not touched it for 10 years and there's cobwebs on it. And maybe you take it down once a year just to refresh yourself, but then you put it back. You're seeing in all these scriptures we've mentioned, it is of pastoral, practical benefit for Christians every day to give us hope, to sustain us. He is coming. And there is a future so wonderful ahead of us. It should be inspiring us every day to live for Christ. So can I put it to you that we are not thinking about the Lord's coming enough? Don't you get the sense of the when you're reading through the book of Acts, the other New Testament letters, it was so real to them, the great joy, the great hope of the kingdom of God. That's what gave them joy in the midst of suffering. It needs to be as real like that for us. We need to, by faith, grab hold of it and see that he is coming. Do you think about the Lord's coming enough as a Christian? Maybe do you even dare to imagine what will that be like? What will that be like as the scriptures describe it? Habakkuk is to, explicitly he's told to write down this message. He's to write the vision, make it plain that he may run who reads it. There's a wonderful description, isn't there, of the work of inspiration, of the inspiration of the scriptures. And God's promise written down, and we're told the purpose, so the one who reads it can run. So the believer who needs strength, who needs encouragement, can read this, be re-energized, and run the Christian life. And again, so often what we need as believers is not new truths to learn. What we need is to be reminded of the truths we do know, so we really feel the weight of the glory of them, and to stir us up. So we must look to God's word, to written down, study it, meditate upon it, and it will give us the strength to run. So as you're running the marathon of the Christian life, and there's going to be seasons when you're weary, and perhaps you wonder sometimes if you've taken a wrong turn, if somehow you've strayed from the path. And sometimes you feel like you're seeing other people cheat and they get ahead of you in the race of life. Habakkuk is a bit like a faithful friend who runs up by your side and he's saying, hang in there, keep going, keep your eyes on the finish line. See the glory that's coming. And he, a bit like he hands you refreshing gospel water. Those cheats will be showed up. The rewards will be given. Keep your eyes on the end that's coming. And so that's the promise, the vision that we're given here. Lord willing, we'll return to verse 4 because it's so important. The Lord willing, next time. But I hope you can be encouraged, brothers and sisters, and take encouragement every day. Think more. Think more about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. A glorious day. Justice will be done. The kingdom will come. Amen.